that's why when you have a maiden 32, for example, rather than separate the horses that are in that maiden 32 race, which is a par of 98, often you have 92s and 93s in there. Don't try to separate those. Look for the droppers out of the straight maidens and the maiden 50s. On Fridays, was it Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one of those days when Mind Power, horse dropped out of a maiden 50 to a maiden 32 at 9-2. Everybody remember that race the other day? Horse won by 10. Was making the drop from a maiden 50, which is a 100, to a maiden 32, which is a 98. Significant drop. The horse wins by 10. Got a little boost with Lasix. But that's what you look for. You don't try to separate the 92s and the 93s. It probably is. You don't separate bad horses. You just look for ways to beat them. But when you get races like this one, we've already found a horse that not only matches Park, sees it by length. Let's look at Doc Murray for a minute, though. This is not the only horse that matches par, Bold Current. Look at Doc Murray. Forget the race in the slot because we're not going to try to adjust one that slow. So take the second race back. The second race back is a 15, right? Daily Racing Form variant. What did we say the Golden Gate variant was? 12 to 14, right? So this is a point slow, which is one length. All right, so very quickly, that pace line of 110 and 3 becomes 110-1, right? All right, the fractional time is 44-4, 110-1. The move from Golden Gate to Hollywood Park to equate the two tracks is what? Two lengths second call, two lengths final, right? That the Golden Gate track is that much faster. That makes it 45-1. 110 and 3, right? 45-1, 110 and 3. And leave the 21-4 the way it is. Okay, now let's look at this. 21-4, 45-1, 110 and 3. This horse gets beat a half length. First of all, what's 110 and 3? 100. This horse is beaten half a length. So that's what? 100. I mean, 99 and a half. It's 100, right? So now you got two horses that stick out over the favorite. If we've done the data is right. We've done it together. The data between Golden Gate and Hollywood Park is fairly accurate. I mean, it's a guesstimate anyway, but it's accurate enough for government work. I mean, it's usable, certainly. So we've got a little faith in that. So if we made the right calls on Bold Current, made the right calls on this horse, which really requires no big... You know, Bold Current's a little tougher because you got to overlook his last performance or so. So you got Bold Current and Doc Murray, both of them matching par here. And the favorite is three lengths below par. So how do you play? You do. You bet them to win. They ran 1-2, a neck apart. The winner of the race is Bold Current. That's a horse we picked yesterday. Because if we put this on the board, I think we will. Things I like about compounding pace ratings is that final time is only part of it. The incremental values of the ratings themselves often create a factor W spread in favor of a horse that has equal final time to some closer, and I like that. The faster they run early, the higher the rating a horse runs gets early, the higher the factor W generally is against a horse that only gets it late. In this particular example, there are two horses with more first quarter speed, Doc Murray and Bold Current, than the other two horses, Quick Tiger or Dirty Old Man. And that shows down here, not only in final time, which we've already proven, with a 101, I think, on one horse and a 100, but it also represents itself in the Factor W. Factor W is the best indicator of overall running ability, using all the fractions and the final time piece of it. So when you look at a race like this, the difference is about 0.15 is about one length. So if we look at the factor W values in this particular race, Bold Current is at least a length on top of the other horse. We've already proven that with the part-time chart. They are both superior, considerably superior, to Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man. When all else fails, if you have any doubts about the racetrack, you can key into factor W and do reasonably well, because it just represents the fastest horse. The two horses that are on top early in this scenario also happen to be the best sustained horses. That means Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man have all hell to pay to try to catch these horses because they're in front of them, if we've done it accurately. So right off the top, those are the rankings, and they strongly support Doc Murray and Bold Current. Now, there's a couple, as you look at the scenario here, it shows Doc Murray gaining a lead in the first quarter and then extending it in the second quarter versus Bold Current. That's a little, it isn't represented accurately in this example. And the reason it isn't is that anytime you have horses coming from different racetracks, some of these fractions don't balance. Doc Murray comes from Golden Gate Fields. Bold Current comes from Santa Anita. Quick the Tiger comes from Hollywood, and this horse comes from Hollywood. So you got a little apples and oranges in here. Normally, if these two horses, if Doc Murray and Bold Current both came from Hollywood Park, I would love Doc Murray in this race. The reason I'd like him so much is that he has a significant lead early against Bold Current, and even more so against the two horses from Hollywood Park. But he would extend that lead against his closest pursuer considerably in the second fraction. The two horses, Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man, after being well behind, over 2 feet per second in the first quarter, gained very little in the second fraction. That's a huge advantage to Doc Murray, assuming they were all coming off the same surface. In this case, they are not. So you want to downplay this little bit of a matchup. The turn time isn't nearly as important. Santa Anita, for one, a lot of the races at Santa Anita, especially when the track was in the February to early April range, a lot of the turn times became much, much slower than they ever are at that track or Del Mar or Hollywood Park. So you got to just downgrade that a little bit when you try to match them up from different racetracks. You can't quite key into the earth, because I love the second fraction in these races, the turn time fraction, and I'll disqualify or promote a lot of horses based on that. Can't do that here because they're coming from different tracks. It's a point I want to make, because otherwise you look at this and say, I love Doc Murray. Well, you wouldn't have been too far wrong. He was also 9-2 in that race. Got beat a neck, so you wouldn't have been too far wrong. If you're that close, you're doing it right, and you'll catch enough. Nevertheless, Doc Murray, Bold Current, the two, all of the figures support them. They ran 1-2, a neck apart, well clear of the third horse, which was Big Bad Wolf, who came running along to be third, and these two other horses finished well up the track. Key to it all, regardless of whether you go to Doc Murray or Bold Current, but the key to this whole race is Quick the Tiger and how you treat him, because that's the consensus horse with 22 points, and it's the favorite in the race. And just a little knowledge of the part-time chart and how they relate, you realize that he's a 97, and it takes a 100 to win here. So you don't want to be betting the favorite in that case. Now, if he's 20-1, you can take a little bit of a, you know, you can take a little risk there, but you do not want to be betting favorites when they're well below the par.
So in this particular race, you really don't even have to put it on a computer.
I wouldn't have, no.
Is this a prime bet?
Is this a prime bet?
I say no. It would not have been a prime bet for me. Now, it would have been a prime bet for me had Bold Current been running regularly at Hollywood Park, and if Doc Murray hadn't been shipping from Golden Gate. Then I could have made that a prime bet. Because if I had a 101 on Bold Current from Hollywood Park recently, and I was facing a favorite with 97, I would have unloaded on Bold Current. But now you're guessing a little bit. All you can do is take your best shot in terms of form. We did it yesterday. We caught Bold Current. But we also caught Doc Murray second. Just the same format we used here. Today we know the results yesterday. We did not. It doesn't change anything. That's exactly the way it came out. Quinella, just make a major play right here. Just assume now that you're right. You've done all of this work, right? You've disqualified it as a prime bet just because there are too many questions here to be answered. But now that you've done this, a lot of play. This is good. I'm glad you asked this question. A lot of our people, a lot of horse players, period, will do this, have gone to all of this work, and then they'll sit there and say, yeah, but was I right here? What if this happens? You know, and they begin to what-if themselves to the point that they can't make the play. On the other hand, once you've gone to this place, to this point, assume this is set in concrete. The winner of this race is Bold Current. The second horse is Doc Murray, one or the other, period. I've done the work, that's the way it is. Now, if you lose it, you lose it. But be decisive. I mean, right now it's done. It's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. If we were playing right now, these two deserve to be boxed heavily in the Quinella, period. Now, heavily for some people would be $20, some people $10, some people $50. But the point is, whatever your betting unit is, these two should be supported as though it's gospel now. You've done it all. They meet the par. You've done your work. Now, don't hedge on it. Don't say, well, God, you know, if Quick the Tiger recovers those 3 lengths he's deficient, he's the favorite, everybody thinks he is, I better use him in here. Better keep a side bet on Dirty Old Man. He can't win, but I'll put a side bet on him. He's a value. Don't do that. That's the biggest weakness, and I got to tell you, that's with everybody, me included. That's the biggest weakness. You know, you've gone through this and said, God, I made a decision here that was kind of close. I made another that was kind of close somewhere else along the way. What if those weren't right? Just assume they're right now. Just assume they're right. If Quick the Tiger measured up better, I mean, he'd be part of the scenario, too. I mean, you could look at that and say, okay, it would be one of these three. And here's the way it probably will finish. But be decisive with it. When you've gone to all the trouble to make the work, do it. Let's look at the third race yesterday, Hollywood Park. This won't take us very long, so we can get right to this one and do it. There are a couple of good points to be made in here. This is a $40,000 claiming race for older fillies and mares. What's the par on this race? 104, adjustment. It's 104, right? Let's start with the top horse, Hummusong. Is Hummusong a contender in here? All right. It's dropping in class a little bit. It hasn't been out for a few days. How many days has it been now? 36 days. It's got to work on best of morning on May 5th. Another best of morning on May 13th. It's got 2 5 furlong workouts in the middle of that, so our workout pattern is good, so we don't really have any concern. In fact, if you look at this horse, you might think that maybe she needed a little time here. Call Me Deb. Is this a contender?
No.
Well, she meets the contender guidelines, doesn't she? Somebody said, so what? That is the right answer. But what I'm trying to do is trying to make sure that you're not religiously adhering to the contender guidelines, because she does stiff. Now, she's been off 41 days off of a 4.5 length win or a 4 length win. That's not what you want to see when they win that powerfully. But the level she won at is important here. What is the level that she won at? No, it's not 100. It's a 98, right? It's a female. She's in a race for 104. That it normally takes a 104. Now, she won strongly in that 98, but look at the time on that particular race. Okay. She probably caught a bad field. I mean, you just can't make a good case for her in here. Your computer's certainly not going to support any kind of a case you make. Matt's Genie. The answer is yes, okay? Now, there will be some problems with Matt's Genie, and we'll finally get rid of her. We did it yesterday. But as far as being a contender is concerned, she comes back off of her layoff, which is an excuse to start with, right? She's 8-5. She was well-supported off that layoff. She held her speed to the eighth pole at a little longer distance and then backed out of it. Now, what I normally do with that, because the only pace line you're going to have on this horse is her last one. If you go back and choose one of the earlier lines, you're choosing a line that she recorded when she was a two-year-old. That's like going back and taking somebody's junior high school history and applying that to a college level. I mean, it just doesn't work. So if you go back to one of those other races, you might be able to make a lot of adjustments and things to make it come up well, but all you're doing is lying to yourself. So you'll use her last race. If she measures up well pace-wise or final time-wise, fine. Now, what I do in this situation, she's running a little shorter distance today. She was coming off of a layoff. And since I haven't got another line to use, I split the difference between her beaten lengths at the stretch call and the final. So when I handicap a race like this with a horse like this, I make her beaten length 6.
How is she a contender? She wasn't up close at the stretch call, and
Well, that's part of it, but she's at 6.5 furlongs last time, right? So the stretch call here is at the end of 5.5, right? So where was she at 5? So you're cutting hairs with that one. So she was up close. She showed good speed, although the pace was kind of slow there. We're going to get rid of her, but she does fit. In her case, it wouldn't have been a problem to get rid of. In the next time you do it, though, when you get rid of a horse like that, you'll pay a price. So just get used to doing it consistently. And in this case, she'll disqualify herself. She won't win. But at another time, you'll miss a $30 or $40 horse by too quickly dismissing a horse like this. Yes?
No, I enter the race
the way it is and just shorten her beaten lengths, because the time is based on that. Now, let's take care of the pace lines as we go through this. Hummusong is an early horse, incidentally. We'll want to put a running style on her. She's an early horse. and will use her last race. It's at Hollywood. Now, one consideration that you have to make on her is that when she earned this figure for her last race, what post position did she have? And that was at a time when it was poison to be in the one post. So give her a little bit of a mental upgrade here. Lunar Beauty. Lunar Beauty, is this a contender?
Yep.
She fits the guidelines, doesn't she? Okay. There's a negative and a positive here. The negative is that she wins that powerfully for 40 and is claimed, and he doesn't get her back to the races for all this period of time. The positive is that he doesn't drop her in this race either. So one kind of offsets the other, but I would consider the negative to be stronger than the positive here. Haughty Dancer. Lunar Beauty? Oh, yes. And we'll use her last race. Haughty Dancer. What do you think, folks? Okay. Let's go back up for a moment. And what is the running style on Call Me a Deb?
Early.
Okay, let's tend to this because we'll have to look at the pace of some of this race especially. Matt's Genie. Early presser, right? But the presser was done as a two-year-old. Her one try as an older horse, the only one you got to look at, might suggest she's early. So she's early presser in terms of her history, but I would lean more toward the early side here. In other words, if she can't control this race early, I wouldn't give her a big push. Lunar Beauty. Well, at Golden Gate, she was able to press and sustain and be sustained both. She's probably a closer in Southern California, though. But she can, you could get away, you could label her a presser also, but she won't be able to press this kind of a pace anyway. Because with Hummusong in here, look at the fraction she normally records. Haughty Dancer now is what? She's early also, right? The one time she pressed successfully, look at the pace she was pressing. They were just running slow. But look at all of her other races. She wanted the lead in there, didn't she? And if she didn't get it, she was not successful. It's kind of an important designation here. Haughty Dancer. Her form is deteriorating. Can everybody see that? She's early. Letters of Love. Is this a contender? You got that right. What's her style? She can also press some, can't she? Yeah.
Haughty Dancer is a contender.
We threw Haughty Dancer out. Okay.
She doesn't fit the contender guidelines, and she's apparently deteriorating anyway. Yes?
Well, she wins.
She wins for 25, and she's double jumped to 40. She must have broken very poorly that day because that's uncharacteristic of her, and she got up to run third at 40. Then he stepped her up to 50, and she was through early. Then he dropped her down to 40, and she was through early again. Okay. So we wind up with how many horses in here? Hummusong, Matt's Genie, Lunar Beauty, Letters of Love. We'll use the last race on all of them. And some adjustments now. Hummusong's last race was at Hollywood Park. The variant that day, according to the racing form, was 10. Which requires what kind of an adjustment to the line you chose? It's one length, right? So it's 116-1 is the race she comes out of. All right. Now she exits then a race that is a 104, right? That race was running 104. 116-1 is a 104. Everybody see that on the part-time chart? Okay, and she ran very competitively until the last eighth of a mile down on the rail. Okay. And the reason I make point of that because Call Me a Deb is the one we eliminated coming out of that 98 race. So she'd be making a major jump here. Matt's Genie. She runs on a track variant of 8 that day. That's 3 points below the zero adjustment range, which is how many lengths? 2. That's a 116 then. The second call adjustment? would be 45-4, 22-3. Now, her last race, on paper, as you look at it, she's competing for the lead for the first two calls, and yet she's competing against fractions at 62-50. Claimers would have been able to record had they come down here from Golden Gate. She comes out of a race that was very slow early, very fast late. And when it got fast late, she backed out of it. Hello? Okay. So we've designated her an early slash presser, and yet she's going to come out of some very slow fractions. Lunar Beauty. She comes from Santa Anita. The zero adjustment range at Santa Anita is 17 to 19. So there's no daily racing form adjustment to be made. The track-to-track from Santa Anita to Hollywood Park is two lengths to the Santa Anita race, right? So her final pace line becomes 21-3, 44-4, 110-2. Because the two lengths is only on final time between those two tracks. Now, those of you that use my variant, just use the variant. You don't have to go through this. I mean, with these data racing form adjustments. Somebody came up yesterday with my part-time chart, my variance, and said, okay, now if I do this, I said, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with those variants. This is when you don't have them. Letters of Love. She comes out of a race that was 08. That's 3 points below the adjustment range. That's two lengths, right? So adjust her line to 22, 45, 3, 110, and 3. Now, here's the kind of race you really do want to be using an actual variant. Because that 08, she may have been on a track that was had a lot of fast races that day because she's better. This makes her a 100. She's better than a 100. You can just see that in her line. Okay, let's put this through the computer then, Dick. It's the third race yesterday. Put this up on the board. Let's just analyze this race. Based on the data, fractional times, what you got on the board, if the race runs to form, who should take the lead here? Hamasong is quickest, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if she gains the lead, watch what happens in the second fraction of the race that she's in.
She's gone.
She's gone in terms of this matchup, right? They choose to send her, bang, she's in front, and she's gone. Her final fraction is the lowest in the field, except that once she's pulled away in the second fraction, if anybody tries to stay with her, we do have a horse that's got to try to stay, two horses here that'll try to stay with her, Letters of Love and Match Genie. If they both try to stay with her, their final fractions will both go down. That's a truth. That's what happens. If you use the energy early, you haven't got it late. So now looking at this race, Hamasong dominates the W, which is kind of representative of overall ability, but it dominates the early pace scenario. Match Genie, who is a presser early, her last race was early, shows no evidence of being able to keep up with Hamasong or, at least in the first fraction, Letters of Love. She's over a foot per second deficient to Letters of Love in the first fraction. So if she uses that to be there, she's going to pay a big price later. So the race shows Hamasong in front, Letters of Love pressing her. The second fraction, Hamasong opens up, according to this scenario. If she's not allowed to open up, whoever keeps her from doing that is going to pay a price at the end. There is no pace duel as such here, because if Letters of Love, in the case of, or Match Genie, in the case of, in yesterday's race it was Letters of Love, anybody trying to police Hamasong will still be running within herself. So it doesn't set up for a closer because she's speed of the speed here. So it doesn't set up for Lunar's Beauty. Now look at Lunar's Beauty's early pace number. It's a 2. That's not the truth. What do you suppose Lunar Beauty, look at the racing form before you look at these charts. What do you suppose Lunar Beauty actually is? Forget these numbers for a moment from the computer. What is she? Do you think she'll be second at the second call in this field? No, she'll be fourth or fifth, won't she? She's a sustained horse, that's right. So don't, when you look at this and say, God, the way I see this race, friends, everybody that's here in my box, I see Hamasong in front, Letters of Love running with her, and then Lunar Beauty moving up to go in front of Letters of Love by the time they hit the half. No. Look at reality. The race sets up one of the two horses in here. The dominant horse in the race is Hamasong. Now, one of the things you have to bite off in here is that Hamasong has a history of stopping. And she has been the best horse several times on paper. Not quite to this extreme. She is She's clearly on top here. Now, the fact that she's had a little time off is to her benefit here. She also catches an easier field. The race runs. Hummasong's in front. Letters of Love actually took the lead here, didn't she, from her outside post? And Hummasong just ran with her and then beat her late. That's the first time in my lifetime, anyway, I've seen Hummasong pass a horse, isn't it? Well, she's actually run second early a couple other times. But she is the best horse. And to ignore that and bet somebody else is at your own risk.
Wouldn't that be?
She ran last, I believe.
Ran last.
Yes.
You got that right. You got that right.
She doesn't hold anybody off. Since she's come back from her layoff, she hasn't been the same horse. Although in her last race, she showed marked improvement. And then yesterday, she ran pretty good. I gave a good figure. I made my variance this morning so I could talk about them a little bit. And I made a good figure for this race. So Letters of Love ran a good race, and so did this horse. Nobody else did. Lunar Beauty's negative is that they weren't able to get her back to the race after that claim. You know, it's nice that they didn't drop her, but they also couldn't get her back to the race. Hummasong and Letters of Love and Neck Apart. Okay. Hummasong wins it, Letters of Love is second. Now, it's easy to pick it now, right? But in yesterday's class, we picked up Hummasong, and then we had some debate as to a second horse, whether it would be Lunar Beauty or Letters of Love. We settled on Letters of Love, just because she's current in her form. She's got the right style for this track. She's a presser. As it turns out, she actually went to the lead here, but she's a presser. And she had the benefit of recent racing where Lunar Beauty didn't. So we went to Letters of Love as the second horse. As long as you key into Hummasong and don't ignore this now. Because several people said yesterday the same. Because I've never really liked Hummasong. I bet her once or twice early in her career. I really never liked her. But when you get this when you get this all set up, you finished all of the work, assume it's right, like I said earlier. And if you assume it's right, Hummasong is the best horse here. And you bet against her with your own peril. Now, the favorite in the other race, Quick the Tiger, was not the best horse. You bet against it aggressively. But this favorite is solid. She was third in the consensus, but she wound up 9-5. I mean, they didn't ignore that out there. Everybody knew she was the best horse. She was 9-5. She paid 580. Letters of Love ran second.
Probably not. I would not have bet it, no.
In Las Vegas, though, it's logical to play the Quinella exactly the way we chose the race. Hummasong and Letters of Love. Take what you get. Pull for Letters of Love to win it. That way you get a better Quinella. But my point is, don't just bet against Hummasong because you don't like her. I don't like her. But I would not have bet against her here. Yes?
I didn't bet Letters of Love.
Yes.
And I was surprised to tell when she jumped out of the gate and kept it up around the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments about how to approach that deficiency in turn time?
The way we did it yesterday is that we assumed that Hummasong would be left alone on the lead and that Letters of Love would run through the second fraction. And then because of her good final fraction compared to Match Genie would pay the price. We were a little wrong on that. It was Letters of Love that went up there. Letters of Love has shown at other points in her career, though, that she can go around a turn in about 23 seconds. So when you choose one race to represent an entire... One of the knocks against pace handicapping, at least in this format, that you catch a lot from critics of this methodology and from any methodology that chooses a single race to base the horse's talent on. Is that single race is too narrow a view of the horse. So when you look at that, on paper, this horse does have a turn time deficiency, but she's quite capable of going around a turn in about 23 seconds on her other lines. With that in mind, the turn time deficiency of this race is not quite representative of her style. I mean, in other words, she won that race, and she won the race that she's in by going out in this 59-54, leisurely going through the final fraction and then opening up late. She won it easy. She was in a paceless field. In fact, I think we picked that race that day. Wasn't that the race we went home to do? Letters of Love was running that day. It was a paceless race. She got on the lead. She slowed it down, and she won. You don't make her pay that price. So you look at it and say, well, she's deficient here. Maybe I'll use another pace line. That would have been a good way to do this. But once we get it all up on the board for this class, we don't want to stop and go back and use another pace line. But you might want to use another line just to see whether or not she's really deficient against Match Genie and Lunar Beauty.